And that's how Bungles the monkey finally found a friend.
I miss Morbo.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 25, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and Chris Page. And now, how to write a letter to the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Matt and I welcome your input and look forward to reading your correspondence on the air. However, there is no polite way to say this. Some submissions are better than others. To ensure the very best Sarcastic Voyage podcast listener submission experience, patent pending, here are a few helpful tips. 1. Keep it short. If you have a lot to say, that's fine. That's great. We love it when people talk about us. But appreciate that unless you specify a certain portion to be read on the air, all 8 paragraphs of your little play are probably going to put the listening audience to sleep. 2. Audio questions are encouraged. Nothing states your case better than your own question in your own voice. We prefer MP3 or AIFF, but can work with pretty much any audio format in a pinch. Speak clearly, try to eliminate any background noise, and don't mumble. Enunciate. Also, don't talk with your mouth full. It's rude. 3. Don't worry so much about bad questions. Unless you're Flonk, we're pretty forgiving about that. We're just happy that you're participating. Ask what you want to ask, and we'll do our best to answer it. Unless it's donut-related. Donut-related questions will donut be tolerated. 4. While we do our best to include questions submitted through Twitter or Facebook or wherever else you might know us, those things are not often easily accessible at recording time. The best way to ensure your question will be seen and read is to email podcast@algar.com. We thank you for your continued support, unless you're Flonk, in which case we grudgingly tolerate your continued pestering.
Panel discussion.
Yes, hello, hi. I don't know if I've done it that way yet. I'm going to have to start writing this down. We're back. I'm here. Matt's here.
Hey.
And our guest this week is, oh, Christ, who's on? Oh, Chris. Chris is here.
Chris Page. Am I here?
Yes, I think so.
Here?
Oh, pretty okay. Sure you're here.
Yep.
Okay.
I just drew. I've been talking to you for an hour, and I just drew a blank. Like, wait a minute, who's this week's guy?
Who is this guy?
I smell burnt toast. I don't know what's going on.
You know, people have that reaction to me all the time. It just, you know, like
just
you're
give
here.
Off strokes.
Yeah,
I do.
Having a stroke, very strange.
And I smell strongly of burnt toast. I don't know.
Stroke-inducing Christmas.
For an entirely unrelated reason.
He just likes toast, and the setting on his toaster just isn't quite right.
I like burnt toast. I don't know what the goddamn problem is.
Oh. Chris is...
You don't like burnt toast?
As many of our guests are, a comic book artist, and I don't know, what the hell else are you?
I'm a writer.
I'm actually
a far better writer than I am an artist.
Fair enough. You're not a bad artist, certainly.
Far better writer than I am an artist.
Yes, well, that's certainly
that
true.
That works.
You're going to draw us cover art, though, right? I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah. I will draw you cover art that is better than the comic book art that I published, certainly.
Well, you only have to do one of those, so.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to do, like, a series of panels and so forth. So let's talk about that. Let's do
okay.
Your plugs. Let's,
okay.
What have you done? What are you doing? What are you going to do?
Oh, wow.
Tell us.
Where have I been?
Yes, where are you going?
It's like a Dr. Seuss book in podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you got to have a lot
things
more
you can do.
Fruit. Like, if you don't have a rhyme, just make up a word.
Yeah, why not? That's how I do it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I was the artist and co-writer on a book called Fuke, which is the only one that's been published. And the artist was a hack, so we're redrawing it.
Excellent.
Because I was looking over, I was going to send you guys copies actually of the book at one point, and then I looked at it and went, this is shit, you know, and just got rid of it.
That never stopped us.
A lot of shit.
Oh, yes, it's bad.
This is podcast number 25, and we're still practicing.
This is like your super anniversary podcast.
Oh, yeah, I guess we're in a milestone.
Yeah.
I wanted to do something, but he's all like, we're not doing something for 25.
Comic book people are always like, ooh, 25, variant cover.
He's like, fuck it, we'll put Paige on there, it's fine.
Hey, this just means we haven't been canceled yet. And we might get a Wolverine guest appearance.
Hey, let's throw in a Fox reference there just to piss off Adrian.
you made it 2 years. You know, you're due for canceling. About that time.
So, Fuke, I know you've explained the concept to me, but for the people who may not know, please.
Yes. Okay. Fuke is basically the concept is what if Doctor Doom or some supervillain of the type, like third person speaking evil supervillain, were evicted from his country that he rules and sent to America and ends up working at Walmart, basically.
See, now that's really like that's like a great one sentence premise. Like you can go to you know whoever and sell that book. Just you know. Right away. That's not like super ridiculously convoluted. We can immediately see the comedy inherent in that premise. That's fantastic.
Welcome to Walmart. Your death will be quick. Welcome to Walmart. Your death will be quick. Welcome to Walmart. Your death will be quick.
And it did come about because I was working a retail job at a Walmart type store at the time. And I was talking to the co-writer, Adam Witt, about that. And we were just, somebody was doing something about talking like Dr. Doom. And so we were just running this thing over Instant Messenger about, you know, Doom says, you know, like, that movie is not in stock. So on and so forth. And it just became like this running joke that we eventually said, hey, that could be a good, you know, one-off comic. And
yeah, absolutely.
Now the four-issue mini.
So did you actually do all four issues?
No, we only did the first one, and then we went on to our second project because we have very bad attention deficit disorder.
I can relate to that quite well.
And so eventually when the current project is finished, we're going to go back and actually write the next, you know, issues and draw them, maybe.
Well, good. Hopefully. That's fantastic. I look forward to seeing that. I've looked forward to seeing that for some time, and you won't let me see it. So
no, because it's terrible.
Continue to look forward to someday seeing it.
You will so look forward to it. Oh, the looking forward.
I'm never not looking forward.
I don't know.
Had to get that in there for those of you at home playing the Sarcastic Voyage drinking game. Drink.
Yes,
it's true.
Just wait. We will not only be mentioning my famous friend Mark Darren later in the show, but we may actually be calling him.
Cool.
So drink
have your booze ready. Yeah.
Yeah. Drink a couple of shots for that one.
The booze is way across the room.
Well,
I was actually telling Matt I'm going to try to do this sober tonight. You know, despite my reputation as an alcoholic, I want people to see I actually can not drink.
I can't imagine where that reputation comes from. You're constantly Twittering and Facebooking about, well, I'm going to drink a fifth of vodka and take some Vicodin now. And
oh, I have to keep the house impression up.
That's true. You do bear. I don't see it as much as some people, but I have been told you bear a strong resemblance to Hugh Laurie.
I've heard it enough that it was one point where you go on dates and five consecutive dates were all like, you know who you look like?
Well,
the guy
fair.
From House.
If,
and I was like,
nice. From chicks, I guess they're looking at you closer.
And that was before I had the cane. So
yeah. Right, you've had some recent injury. You do have to walk with a cane now, and so that certainly adds to the.
Yes. Well, I actually did go and buy a replica house cane. Like, it
nice.
Has the flame on it and everything like that because I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to fucking run with it.
Yeah.
The bad thing is, though, I went to work, I think, 2 weeks ago, and I was, waiting for the elevator, and this guy from one of the other companies is, waiting with me. Mm-hmm. And he looks at me and he goes, house, huh? Dairy for Halloween, isn't it?
Ouch.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
So I just kind of stared at him, and then we got on the elevator, and I just stared at him all the way up to the office and just stared at him.
Well, if you're doing your house impression anyway, he's got that intense stare, so you can definitely channel that.
And of course, you beat him to death with the cane.
Right. Yes, and I took some Vicodin and hobbled off. Had sex with hookers. It was fantastic.
And did lupus enter anywhere into this at all? Was there any lupus involved?
There was, in fact, no lupus. I diagnosed 3 people with not lupus, though, so it was a good day.
That's great. I've actually only seen the one episode of that show. I wouldn't mind watching more of it, but a lot on my plate. But it looks like a fun show.
Like I've caught a couple episodes here and there. At one point, I was watching a movie at my parents' place, and I turned it off, and there's a close up of Hugh Laurie on the screen, and scared the shit out of me.
Because
he
TV.
Really does. I'm like, holy shit! That's
start looking around for the camera.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was like, fuck, man. It's like the Truman Show or something. Shit. It's like I need to shave. God damn.
Yeah, and actually, it's funny because the last time I saw you about a month or so ago, you had kind of gone unshaven for some time, and you definitely had that look going.
Well, because I am very lazy about shaving, so
That's pretty much the only reason I have a beard. Like I like to say, oh well, I look good in a beard, or I just don't like to shave.
Yeah, see, that's my thing. It's I don't shave, but then it starts to itch, and then I'm like, well, when that gets too bad, then I shave it off and start over again. So,
but it's so much less effort to scratch your beard than it is to get the razor.
Not if it's perpetually itchy.
That's true.
Not. You outgrow it, though.
Yeah.
Guess you're listening to facial hair chat here on the Sarcastic Voyage podcast.
Clearly, this is, you know, this is the one that will get you canceled because we've talked about facial hair for 5 minutes.
Oh, no. You haven't heard yet, but we spent quite some time talking to Corwin about mustaches.
Mm-hmm.
See, well, with Corwin, you have to talk to him about old-time radio because he has one of the best old-time radio voices ever.
He has a good voice, like, in general. Like, I was pretty impressed with his sort of, you know, the timbre. He's one of those guys I hadn't met, and I really worry we're going to get on Skype and it's going to be like, hey, guys, are we ready to go? And so far, it hasn't been like that. So
why did you buckle up?
I don't know. But so far, we've been lucky. Everyone who comes on is like, hey,
Yeah.
I just keep waiting. Fortunately, that hasn't happened yet. But no, the old-timey thing, Matt and I have kind of something in work with that. I don't want to do too much on that yet because you'll spoil the 5 minutes of material that we have. So,
well, if you get me and Corwin on at the same time doing that, we'll give you a good 20 minutes of material because we were at a convention in Chicago, like the first time I met him, and we were going for probably, I'd say, a good 12, 13 hours.
So out of that, you think there's about 20 minutes of...
I would say probably about four, material. Really. You know, if you guys have five and we have four, that's a good length, I think.
Why don't we have to have more?
Yeah, you give us way too much credit, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because it's your show, though, so I figure you guys should have five. Because, you know, I mean, if we had the material, we'd have our own show. And then,
yeah,
you know,
if we are what the people come to
see. Oh, no, it's not about material at all. I tell people this repeatedly. What it is, it's about showing up and recording every week. That's it. That is the only trick to doing a podcast that people don't understand. You hit record. You make sure you're there, and then you know you got to do some of the technical stuff, but it's not that hard. That's it. Everyone's like, well, you got to be funny. No.
Just got to show up.
This podcast is living proof.
Yep. And we you mean this part? I see what you're doing. You're doing that thing all the guests do. I'm not funny.
No, actually, I think I'm quite funny. I just haven't hit my stride yet.
Oh, all right.
Then. Plus, I'm not drinking.
I was about to say because your alcohol's across the room.
You know, I'm like Popeye. I need my, you know.
Well, hey, man, we're not gonna stop you. I mean, we're certainly. I would say two of the best podcasts that we've done. I'm not gonna call out specific favorites, but among the best were
among our weaponry.
Was the one with the Gavs where they were plastic, and the number three, I think, with Mark Bosco, which when we did our second take, he used in the gin.
Hopped up on gin.
Yeah, I think we've had some of our best success stories from people, you know, from the guests drinking.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey.
Hell, I'd be drunk for every one of these if it didn't just mean I'd fall asleep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
cursing at you for 20 minutes.
We already get that. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Drinking wouldn't really change that. So, not that there's peer pressure, Chris, but drink.
I may grab some eventually. We'll see.
All right, then.
Couldn't you just go for a cold, refreshing beer right about now? You know, I could.
Oh, no, he's a hard liquor guy. I'm
oh, no, I do like beer
refreshing.
Well.
Okay.
I like
hard liquor.
In high school, I used to drink Thunderbird, which is what winos drink.
Sure.
With Kool-Aid in it, because it's really not Kool-Aid.
There's a reason for that. It's because it's cheap and powerful.
Well, yeah.
So it appeals to your average wino, but it also appears to your you know, high school student on a budget.
The average wino on the street.
We pulled 100 winos. And the most common answer given was, show me Thunderbird. Ding.
Now, the most common answer was,
I'm going to go to Matt's store now. Use paperbacks.
You get a lot of winos at your store, Matt?
The government.
I'm sure he does.
You get a lot of winos at your store?
Fuck yeah, every day.
Ugh. So we got tweakers at the store I worked at, like, you know, like meth heads and whatnot. That was far more disturbing.
Well, we also had meth head, like we had a meth clinic behind our old location, so we got all the colors of the
addiction
of
rainbow.
The rainbow.
Yeah. We used to have people coming looking for lithium batteries, which
for no reason at all, just because
they were just
lithium batteries.
But you get the guys that come in and, like, you know, the guy's got, like, open sores and, you know, three teeth. And he's in and he's like, I need a 20-pack of lithium batteries. And they're like, okay, why? He's like, my kids just got Furbies. We want them to talk to each other. Really? Okay.
By the way, do you also have any pseudoephedrine? Because I have a cold.
Cough.
Yeah. Hack.
I don't know. I need about 750 milligrams just off the top of my head. I think that's about how much I'll need.
Now, more than likely, I usually get, what the fuck do you mean you're not going to buy this pile of Maxims?
Well, sir, Jessica Alba looks lovely, but...
No, I don't know why all the pages have been torn out. Why would I know that? No, I don't know what that smell is.
Hold that thought. We're gonna come back to what that's soaked in. Let's tease the bit for later. Want to know what those magazines are soaked in? Keep listening. Look at that. Fine. I'm getting better at this.
Whatever.
So now here's one of my expert segues here.
God.
Go ahead.
What?
You started talking.
No, I said, look at it go.
Now you've ruined it. It's yeah. You've ruined the act, Job.
Now this segue is stopped.
Hey, I did it fine. But you're like, what? Huh? Talk about that some more.
You tried to be all like, considerate. You heard me talking and you're like, hey, what are you saying? Well, that'll teach me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking on the Twitter there, like we do.
Like we constantly do.
Some time ago, Chris was in on this conversation. We were talking about movies edited for television. And I think this is a subject that definitely deserves some discussion.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course. What happens when you meet a stranger in the Alps?
That's probably the most famous, the best one, where from the Big Lebowski, you know.
Yes.
This is what happens, Larry. This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Find a stranger in the Alps.
Of course, my favorite is the Ghostbusters one. And there's a reason I prefer this. Stranger in the Alps is a lot funnier.
Yes.
But this is a scene that they filmed. It was an alternately filmed scene. They could have said whatever they wanted. And what they said was, instead of Dickless here, turn off the power grid, it's true, this man has no dick. They said, Wally Wick here, it's true, Your Honor, this man is some kind of rodent, I don't know which. And again, they specifically filmed an alternate version of the scene to show on television, and it makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
And see, the sad thing with that is when I was a kid, I actually taped Ghostbusters off TV. So for the longest time, I actually thought that was what the line was.
Wally Wick.
I didn't know any better. I was like, okay.
Yeah, well, it was the same way.
Yeah. And then I caught it when I was like, 15, and like, Dickless. And I was like, Dickless?
Why did they say Dickless?
This
must be the director's cut.
Sweet.
I've stumbled across something amazing.
And I'll never find out. I'll never find out what kind of rodent he is. Damn it.
Son of a bitch.
I always appreciate, like, there's actually an edited for TV version of Pulp Fiction. You would think that's a joke.
Yeah, no, I've seen
that. Yeah, that's not a good idea.
And yet it happened. I think because that movie won some Oscars, got some attention, and people wanted to see it. And some people can only see movies on broadcast TV for some reason because they live in the fucking 1800s.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
I just picture it being like made up entirely of the dance sequence, and that's it.
Like, I remember actually watching it. Cause I remember when they were advertising it on like the local Fox affiliate, and I was like, Pulp Fiction. I was like, I actually stayed up late to watch it just to see how bad the edit was. I was like, well, I need to see how they do, like, you know, Ving Rhames getting raped, because I don't know.
Was it just very disjointed? Was it a lot of like cutting? Like
it was a weird camera pan. Like when they do like the pan and scan, when it kind of moves, and
or
they
like
kind
they,
of
they
skipped.
like it zooms in on his face or something.
Yeah, like it was really like just, you know, just very carefully panned.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
And there's a little thing at the bottom that says no one is being raped.
Well, you got to believe those little, you know, those captions. I mean,
I watched it at home. Oh, thanks, Quentin. I was worried.
The only bit that I remember, I don't remember any of the specific language things, but I do remember when they did the close-up of Jules' wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And it said bad mother, and it was like, it looked like it was letterboxed, only you could only see about 2 inches of screen. So it's black bars on 90% of the screen, and you can see the words bad mother, and that's it.
You reach in that bag, and you hand me the one that says wallet.
The one that says Jules, which is my name.
This one says Jules, this is his name, so it's not yours. Sorry, guy.
No, that's not mine. Put that one back.
When you pull that in front of my house, did you see a sign in front of my house that said dead African-American story?
Dead
guys,
color.
He's the worst fucking actor.
I don't need you to tell me how fucking good my coffee is, okay? I'm the one who buys it. I know how good it is.
He's a hell of a writer and a damn good director, but he can't act for shit. He should not act in anything.
And he puts himself in every movie he's made. Actually, I unfortunately didn't get to see The Bastards, so I don't know if he was in that.
He wasn't in Bastards.
He was not?
No.
Oh.
No.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well,
was he in Kill Bill?
I don't think he was in Kill Bill.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, he was actually, he had an off-screen cameo. He was the voice of the answering machine.
Oh, that's
oh well, of course.
She plays her messages, and he's like, "Yeah, you have two messages, okay?" When Bonnie goes to the store, she buys shit. All right, I'm done.
That's not a bad impression, though, actually.
Yeah, you've reached the home of
of Beep.
They're not in right now. Leave a message.
I don't know why her name is Beep, okay? It's really not that big of a reveal. I thought it would be cool.
Yeah. Seemed like a good idea at the time.
No, when Pulp Fiction came out, obviously it was a big deal. And when it came out on video, I had a party at my house, a dressed up as your favorite Pulp Fiction character party, and I dressed up as his character because it was my house. So everyone coming to my door, I could give them the little spiel. You know,
yeah.
I had the bathrobe and holding the mug of coffee.
Did you have a sign outside your house?
No, I did not, as a matter of fact. I live in a predominantly African-American neighborhood. I was very...
Because he didn't want to get his ass kicked.
Also, I really don't have room to store those particular items. It was really more of a practical issue than anything.
I can see that. Well, that was like when they had Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
They had the sign, speaking of edited for TV, and the sign obviously says, whatever it was. And when they edited it, it was, "I hate everybody."
Oh. Oh, right, yeah, the where he made him go to
Harlem. Harlem and, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was, "I hate everyone," and apparently that just offended these gangsters down the block. They're like, "Everyone? I'm part of everyone.
We're everyone."
And Samuel L. Jackson comes out and rescues him. "What are you doing? How can you hate everyone?" I do remember there was...
"Don't you know you're someone?"
one of the Die Hard movies had, of course, the yippee-ki-yay, and I'm pretty sure it was Melon Farmer.
It is.
Yeah.
Melon Farmer.
Sounds almost worse somehow.
I mean, there's certain times where they can actually pull it off. Like, it's not with Melon Farmer, but there's certain actually in Pulp Fiction, I do recall, I saw bits of it. I saw the wallet bit. I saw a couple other bits. And one of them was like, "I'm a mushroom cloud laying little sucker. And it wasn't great, but it fit the cadence. It's like something somebody might say, and it wasn't terrible.
Somebody like 1950s, middle America.
Yeah, but Back to the Future. There's a bit at the
you're
end.
You're gonna where, see this thing hits 88 miles per hour. You're gonna see some serious stuff.
No, at the very end, he's like, "What happens to us in the future? What do we become, jerks or something?"
We become jerks.
Yeah. No, it was actually what I. Either they dubbed it or they got Michael J. Fox to dub it or something, but it was actually, I didn't even notice it. I know that movie, obviously, back to front, and I looked up and I was like, "Whoa, that was pretty smooth." Or in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where he's referring to Cameron's car as a piece of tin. And I'm jealous. I don't even have a piece of tin of my own. It's always that great bit where they get the ADR guy who sounds nothing like the original actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
"Hey, Bill, come over here for a second."
"What can I do for you?"
"Hey, we need you to paging Mr. Herman." It's just the shake hands with danger guy.
"Yeah, what can I do for you?"
And that actually brings me to the other subject I wanted to discuss with you, which was Mr. Loika.
Pilo.
Yes. That's pretty much it. That's all I want.
Now back to your discussion already in progress.
Oh, Pilo.
I don't even know. Did you start it, Chris, or you just kept it going?
I have just kept it going because I have a tendency of finding a joke and just running the fucker into the ground.
You don't know anything about that, donuts.
Well, that's the point that it's funny, because I found that eventually it stops being funny, but if you keep going, it starts getting funny again after about, a week.
Oh, yeah, professional comedians refer to that as the Family Guy principle, but but it has kind of a shelf life to it, so.
I actually like some of Family Guy's stuff. They have some entertaining bits.
I really enjoyed the show until it came back from cancellation, and it feels like his heart's just not in it anymore. That's my whole thing. It feels like they're just kind of on autopilot, and they're back because Fox renewed them, and they're back. But
they started to try really hard.
Yeah, and they just repeated themselves a lot. That was my only thing. I thought it used to be a fun, really funny show. The first couple of years, I thought it was awesome. But
Well, they had great random bits, the Christmas cartoon, the Kiss Christmas cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Which was just hysterical, because, and actually, I would watch. I think he should animate, a Kiss Saves Christmas.
Saves Christmas. I would totally
watch that. Yeah.
A lot of the randomness was great. What I don't like, and what I was kind of referring to there with the joke that just won't go away, is that it feels like padding. It feels like there's, 10 minutes of episode.
Yeah, when there's, the 5 minutes of,
And the first time they did a joke like that, when they did the chasing the chicken with the coupon.
Yeah. That was 5 minutes
awesome.
Long. Yeah.
That was hysterical.
Then they did that exact joke again in another episode. I'm like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
So now it's a callback, huh?
Well, I mean, they've done it like 5 times now, and it's just like you can probably stop now, you know.
And there's a rule of kind of diminishing returns on that, where it's just less funny each time. They did their Star Wars thing, and they did a lot of great jokes in that. But then they did this bit where they're trying to move a couch for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it just it completely lost me. Like, you know, I like Star Wars. I like it so much we're not even allowed to talk about it.
See, here's where I get the weird thing with Star Wars is that I actually did not see the original
episode 4
until I was 18. Mm-hmm. Hmm. I was actually
somehow, and you're roughly by you're like 30 now.
I'm 30. Yeah.
So you're
in January. Yeah. So yeah. Roughly.
So I mean, you're still part of that generation that grew up with it, but somehow you just missed it.
Well, because I mean, my family was not entirely rich, so we didn't go to the movies a lot. I don't necessarily recall. And what happened was, you know, you get movies from the library. And the library only had Return of the Jedi that I recall. It didn't have Empire Strikes Back or anything. So, you know, I watched Return of the Jedi. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's an entertaining movie. That's great. You know, and then just went on my merry way. And then caught Empire Strikes Back at some point on TV, but never really, you know.
Right.
That one was edited too.
I was like, damn it.
Your tauntaun will freeze before you hit the first marker. Well, I'll see you over there.
I'll see you when I get back.
I know that's verboten, but hey, sorry, it fit the discussion.
Yeah, so. You know?
And it was funny. But yeah, no, the Pat Loika thing was, I think it was on Facebook or something like that. That Pat, someone called him Pilo, and I just said, "Fuck it, I'm going to run with it," because it's really funny.
Well,
he's
going
to kill
Pilo. I mean, it fits. It's,
yeah, know. It really does, and it's really, and I actually hate that shit, that nicknaming bullshit.
Yeah.
Fucking,
well, I especially love it when like you would be like C-pop.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, no, it was decided when I was in college, right after like a Puff Daddy changed his name to P. Diddy, that I was C. Pity.
Oh,
I like
that. Yeah, that actually went for a while. So you know, as a makeup to Pat, I'll throw C. Pity out there, and he can, you know, he can use it.
Nah, it's no P-Lo. It's funny, but it's
watching watching amazement is that everyone forgets about that one in a week.
Yep. Oh, easily.
P-Lo lasts.
Get P-Lo out there because everyone knows and loves Pat.
This is true. Everybody does love
and this
Pat.
Is our best way to strike against him.
He is the nicest guy in the world.
And you know, anyone who doesn't like Pat is an asshole.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I did want to get that out there, you know, the whole Pilo thing. Matt especially, I imagine, now that I've shown him the wonderful art that Pat did that I commissioned.
Son of a bitch.
I expect he's still kind of shaking his fist at Pilo and doesn't mind that there's a little...
Yes, but being Canadian, he often shakes his fist to the south, just like, "Ah, damn you Southerners.
You guys."
No, they're too polite for that.
Always with your Americaning.
You know, he feels bad afterwards, but you know.
Yeah. I'm sorry I let it get out of control of like that.
That's are you actually doing a Canadian accent?
That's correct.
You have a Canadian. Why would you?
Yeah,
don't have.
This is like when Amanda did an impression of Amanda, and it didn't sound anything like herself. And Chris, I see you. I can see you from here across Seattle, gearing up to make that joke. Please don't.
No. I'll actually leave that one alone. I was not intending to run that joke. But now that you mention it.
Well.
She's been on. I deliberately scheduled her on the show before you. Just so people know. And the joke is he thinks that my Canadian girlfriend is imaginary. And,
well,
I'm afraid
I mean,
that's simply not true.
I'm sure
pretty
it's a fine
sure
actress that
real.
You hired to come on and pretend to be Amanda, but still.
And who's going to go through the whole wedding with me and living with me and all that?
No,
yeah.
Mind you, that I've actually met. Yeah, it's that same girl at the convention that you brought in last year.
It's like the Aunt May actress in Spider-Man. I'll take this gig to the grave.
Oh, that was a horrible time in comics.
Yes, it was.
Didn't we just? I mean, I'm not saying don't talk about it, but didn't we bring this up again recently?
I think we should never not be talking about this the Spider-Man.
How terrible the Clone Saga was. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. That can be one of our causes. We can certainly.
No, it was bad enough that I've not read like a mainstream Spider-Man book since.
That's really good right now, dude.
They lost me with the whole sell your soul to the devil thing. So
yeah, they lost a lot of people, but they like it. It's been really good since like they got that stupid thing out of the way, and it just got better. And the problem was they lost a ton of people with that stupid thing.
Yep, they sure did.
Mm-hmm. When they had like an easy fix,
yeah,
like, there. Like I still follow it. Like I still follow most comics just to keep up with stuff when people talk about it. And so like I know like he was friends with Loki. Loki's pretty powerful. He could have been like, hey, there's your marriage gone. I'm helping you out. Would have been fine.
No, of course not.
Would have made more sense than
to bring out the devil.
The devil.
Yep. There wasn't even a fiddle contest.
that would have been awesome.
I think Spider-Man could probably play a pretty mean fiddle. I don't know.
Parker, I challenge you to a fiddling contest.
Plus, they could have done like those old school comics that had the records in them and had like the actual recording of him fiddling. Like that would have been awesome. Man.
On the other side is something from the Mary Marvel Marching Society.
or Foom.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like Friends of Old Marvel?
Friends of Old Marvel.
The bullpen, which totally existed and wasn't a fictional construct at all.
It's true.
No, not in the slightest bit. They were all happy and they loved each other.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no bitterness or...
No, especially between like Stan and Jack. Those guys were...
Stan and Jack loved each other. They were often seen skipping through fields of flowers together.
And when we become like a media empire and we have lots of money, I totally want to make the like Stan Lee Jack Kirby story. Just have him chained to a desk and Stan Lee like whipping him. faster!
Excelsior!
Face front, true believer.
I don't care which way you face, as long as it's towards a fucking piece of paper.
So that's your Stan Lee, huh?
Yes, we've established that that's my Stan Lee.
Okay, it's so hard to keep track because you have
Stan Lee is Dr. Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sweetie.
Jack Kirby is Russian Dr. Girlfriend.
In Soviet Russia, fourth world is good. Oh, all right, I'm sorry.
Soviet Russia, fourth world.
We just lost Corwin.
There he goes.
Somewhere in Phoenix shaking his fist at you now.
He's always shaking his fist at somebody. It's fine.
Yeah.
I say that, but he comes off as a bit negative online sometimes, but he and Adrian both do, and they both came on and gave us an hour of just, you know.
Yeah, good people.
Talking about stuff.
Yeah.
I think
he's full of love and sunshine, Corwin.
Well, he was for us. I think if nothing else, the legacy of the show is going to be like, trying to make the internet slightly more positive, at least like for an hour at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. And no, actually, I'm actually quite serious. I shared a table with him in Chicago. He's good people.
Yeah, he is. He's a really good guy. He sometimes gets carried away online, but don't we all? And I actually, that kind of reminds me of here's a smooth segue, and I just ruined it by pointing it out again. Chris, you pulled one of maybe the classiest moves I've ever seen online and made us all feel like jackasses.
Oh.
I won't get too specific. I don't want to call anyone out by name on the message board that we often refer to.
Yes,
that was a young
on the unnamed message board.
Hey, that brings us back to the other thing. Good.
Mm-hmm. See,
yeah,
I could do it well.
Callbacks.
Well, then you're Mr. From now on, the segues are up to you. I'll you're just gonna have to guess what subject I'm trying to move to next.
So kittens.
You don't have that brain link set up yet?
No, he's just going to go, so Jaws.
Oh. So Batman. damn
no,
it.
No, I can talk about Batman.
You can't talk about Jaws?
Yeah, it's something that embarrasses me about him every day.
I saw it once, and it's an all right movie, but Jesus. It's all right, you know.
Best shark movie
it's
ever.
A sure, fantastic it's fantastic horror movie.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not a huge horror fan, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, on the message board, there was a very clearly like a 14-year-old kid or something. Like I hope it was anyway. I hope it wasn't a grown man. But,
hard to tell sometimes.
Who gave a very incoherent pitch, like a very detailed, you know, and it was very fanfic. It was very like, you know,
very shitty.
Yeah, but you know, Nick Fury went to my house and. You know, and then he teamed up with you know, Wolverine, and then, you know, it was just every...
Yeah.
And we're all ragging on him. We're all having a good time. And then Chris, bastard, comes in and says, hey, so you know a good pitch would have, like, you might want to think about a character arc.
And
he's actually giving him serious, like, actual advice he might be able to use and make it good. And we just all feel like jerks after that.
Well, that was part of my plan, actually. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make these guys feel like shit. So,
mission accomplished.
It was like, wait a minute. Yeah, we should, you know, we shouldn't be doing that. I'm always constantly talking about how the internet's too negative and how it just really bugs me that everyone's always... And he just points out, well, hey, you're a dick, too. Oh.
Yeah. Well, because I had no... I feel bad. You know, it's like, if I was 14, I'd want someone to tell me, hey, you know what? Your shit sucks. You need to fix it.
Yeah, but you didn't say your shit sucks. You said... You gave him constructive feedback. you gave him 50 pieces of constructive criticism that addressed every single aspect of his work. So if
and he will not listen to a word of it, I guarantee you.
Well, no. But you know, you told him.
Yeah, you tried at least.
Yeah.
And made me feel terrible. So thanks.
Of course. And then he'll say, "And who are you? And what have you done?" And I'll say,
"Shut up!
I'm older than you. Shut up, kid."
Yeah. Quiet, you. I co-wrote 2 movies that will never get made.
Very nice. Do you want to plug the movies that will never get made?
Or? No, because it's one of those situations where it was creative differences. Mm. Like, you always hear about, like,
the other guy was a dick. Yeah, I know.
He was a racist and a dick, and I had to threaten to sue him.
Very nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought I was putting you in an unpleasant position there. I thought you'd say, oh, no, he's a great guy.
No, he was a dick. He was a dick and a racist.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was just one of those things where, you know, like, you're working and, you know, you don't really realize these things. And he goes, here's a script that I wrote and you should read it. And you take it and read it and go, this is the worst thing ever. And it's horribly racist and sexist. And the premise,
wow.
The tagline was about how women are ruining men's lives. Oh. That was, like, their thing. And it was a comedy.
Were you writing it with Dave Sim?
It could be. He was talking about The Void a lot.
And Matt says this. And this weekend when we were hanging out, he hands me these 3 fucking giant service trades and it's like, here, these are great comics, read these. So
hey, just because Dave Sim is crazy doesn't mean he didn't write some good comics.
All right,
that's true. It's true.
John Byrne's a prick and he can draw really well
sometimes.
Yeah.
John Byrne might be the reason I'm not that into Hellboy, because like I read the first trade, I'm like, what's the so
did John Byrne draw Hellboy?
He
wrote the first one.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I remember correctly, it was what's his name that draws that?
Mignola, Mike Mignola.
Was like, I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite confident enough in my writing yet, so I just want to do the art, so I'll hand it off.
So get an artist to write it for me.
Yeah.
That works so well at Image.
I couldn't get into that book, and that might be why, because, you know, John Byrne's such a great writer.
Well, he did a good job with, you know, Fantastic Four back
then. Yeah, Fantastic Four is awesome.
I don't know.
Superman shooting at porno.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want to read about that?
I kind of do. Did he actually make that?
He was actually in one of the books. Him and who was it? It was Big Barda.
Yep.
Got like taken over, like mentally controlled, and they shot porn with them.
So it was like evil mind control.
A porn maker from the fourth world, or from Apocalypse.
Oh, I hate the fourth world. Now you made me say that again. Damn it!
There goes Cormoran again.
I'm sorry. I don't
crying into his beard.
This week's episode, I hate the fourth world.
At least you've backed off from fuck the fourth world. That would have been your...
Well, I know you wouldn't go with that.
No, we've used it too much.
Oh, you can never use fuck the fourth world too much.
Well,
it's the fourth
world. I know that. He friggin' won't listen.
No, I don't want to make every title like fuck this and fuck that, especially since I'm trying to say that we're trying to be less negative. I think it kind of paints a conflicting picture here.
But... You should call it fuck negativity.
There you go. Now we have a title. All right. We do actually have a fair amount of mail to answer this week. For some reason, shitloads of people wrote to us. Chris has been beating the drum for well over a week trying to get people to write in, and shockingly, they did. Mm-hmm. However, not all of these are specifically addressed to you.
Okay. Frighteningly, I have to ask first: are these how many of these are from like my mom?
None.
Thankfully,
these are all from our circle from Twitter.
Oh, these are all from Flonk.
No. No, we still have our one flunk email a show rule. In fact, you know, let's get that out of the way first.
All right, coming soon.
Okay, yeah, and this is less for Chris. You can answer this if you want, but it won't make a whole lot of sense.
Okay,
dear Al, and to a lesser degree, Matt.
Oh, fuck you, Flunk.
There's your answer, Flunk.
Fuck Flunk. That's the. You've been answering stupid questions for many years now in many different venues. My question is, what is your favorite format to do so? Flunk. My favorite forum is the one where we get to limit you to one question a week, which would be this one. Thanks for writing.
I really like doing it on named message board. Because, like, when it's written, I got the thing in front of me and I've got time to sort of craft something.
There was time now.
Exactly. But, like, you could put a lot more work into it.
Or you could ignore it.
Right.
Yeah, or that, too.
I just didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, man. I missed that.
I would do that. Or, actually, I got accused of, apparently, the internet penis on that board was post count. Like, you have a bigger post count, so you're, you know, a bigger man. Like, I just talk a lot. Like,
yeah.
It's not a contest. As long as I'm winning, it's not a contest.
I don't go outside.
I go outside. You've seen me outside. We watched that guy get pooped on. It was funny. by a bird, I should specify.
That should probably be explained, because that sounds like we went to some German club or something.
No, we saw it outside.
And that's what happened. Outside of the German club.
Outside of the German club, we saw it.
You can explain it if you want. I didn't intend to, but by all means, if you think it needs clarification.
All right, well, to explain, yeah. Basically, it was a friend of ours who was standing underneath an awning when a pigeon happened to be above him.
We were all standing around in a circle, and suddenly Amanda just starts howling with laughter. I'm like, what? And she's gasping for air so hard, she can't tell me. She's just laughing so hard, she can't make words. I'm like, what? What? And it took her like 5 minutes, and I'm starting to get angry. Like, it can't be that funny. Shut up! And then she finally points, and our friend Kyle just had, like, bird crap, like, dripping down his, like, coat. I don't think it got him on his head. I think it got him, like,
no,
on his shoulder.
No, it got him, like, on the shoulder, but yeah. It was still...
if you actually saw that happen, it probably was the funniest thing ever.
And it was a pretty reasonable amount. It wasn't, a little bit. It was that bird was saving it for someone.
Yep. Well, you know, I mean... I don't know. I feel like you live in Seattle like I do. I feel like I should have some kind of civic pride there, but I'm not feeling it.
If it was a Tacoma bird, I might be okay with it, but not a Seattle bird, no.
We should know better.
I represent Tacoma, damn it.
Well, you live in Seattle, though.
I know. All right. I'm from Tacoma. You can take the guy out of Tacoma. Can't take Tacoma out of the guy.
I haven't been here long enough to really get the rivalry. Like, I don't...
I don't know.
I'm still in like the DC Baltimore phase, and I fucking hate Baltimore no matter where I live. So
I think it might be a similar thing. It's the best explanation I heard was that, you know, if Seattle were New York, Tacoma is New Jersey.
Well, we went on the Underground Seattle tour a couple weeks ago, which was fucking fantastic.
It was awesome.
And the chick made quite a lot of references to the way Tacoma smells.
Yeah. It doesn't smell anymore as much.
as
much.
I like how you're from there and you even had to qualify that. Well,
there's still something of an odor.
I better not oversell it. Well, so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the water, so you get that smell that you get anywhere when you're on the water. I mean, you know, there's that horrible smell. But the actual reason for the smell was like a paper smelting factory, and that has long since closed down like 20 years ago.
Oh, no, so. She was telling us about the way we used to... you know, the sewage would let out in Tacoma and that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, she's full of it.
Good tour, though. Really, really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If I had been there, I would have hit her with my cane.
It was underground. There was a lot of, like, cobblestones and uneven, you know.
Like, yeah. I get around pretty good, actually.
All right. Fair enough. You could have brought your Segway, right?
Yeah, I could have. It would have been awesome. There would have been a chase scene after, like, I hit her. Like, the security would come after me and, you know.
Man, a Segway underground.
Out of here.
It would have been fantastic.
I'm picturing is you on a Segway, waving your cane, like shaking your cane at her menacingly, and you're wearing like a miner's hat. I don't know why I'm picturing like,
that. Well, yeah, you're underground. You have to have a miner's hat. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know.
That's what you see down.
Standard.
Yeah. Issue. Have a canary in a cage just in case, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Let's see. Next question comes from John Drake, a.k.a. Juan D. It still pisses me off that he has this.
Juan John Drake.
Well. Here's the thing. I get to know him on the message board as John Drake, and I did not realize he was actually Hispanic from, I believe, from Panama, and his actual name is Juan. And I got to know Juan on Twitter, and I didn't realize until very recently that they were separate people.
I didn't know that Juan was John Drake actually at all.
See? Now you're going through the same horrible revelation I am. Like, oh, my God. I feel so betrayed.
My mind is broken. It's a horrible revelation.
My mind is blown. He asks... I really need new shoes. I've had my current ones for about 4 years, and they're a little tight, sort of uncomfortable. I've been looking around, and they're all either ugly as fuck, most Reebok shoes I've tried, or just very uncomfortable. So what do you guys wear?
Not Reeboks.
Well, there's a picture, and now we're going to have to post it in the show notes, of Sabrina, who was on the show previously, realized that all of us apparently wear Converse. Chuck Taylors.
Yeah.
So... thankfully, there was a girl in the room wearing the same shoes. Otherwise, it would have just been a picture of me and Matt wearing the same shoes. And we're not gay, by the way.
We're not gay at all. I don't know who keeps starting that rumor.
Probably us.
Yeah.
Probably.
But I can't speak highly enough of the canvas, just classic Converse All-Star.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
I wish there was the pair of Chucks that I had when I was in high school when the first Batman movie came out, the Burton Batman movie. that was covered in bat symbols.
Back then, you can get anything covered in bat symbols.
Yeah.
I know.
If you were born that year, you had bat symbols branded on you. They were just like,
yeah, okay. I can get born you. In 89 or, you know, just.
I can get you a toe by 1 o'clock with bat symbol.
But these shoes were fucking fantastic, and I don't think they sell them anywhere. I'm just, I you know, that's like by Rosebud. I'm going to die. Bad shoes.
they help you walk up the wall.
You know, Matt, you knew Al pretty well. Why did he say bad shoes when he died? I don't know.
I wasn't listening.
It's a sled. when I was in high school, I took the media lit class because we got to watch movies, and we watched Citizen Kane, right? And it finishes, and this girl at the back goes, "I don't get it." And I go, "What's not to get?" She goes, "Oh, what does it mean?" I'm like, "It means he wanted his sled, you know, yeah. Like the sled he had when he was a kid." And she's like, "Well, he was rich. Why didn't he just buy a new sled?"
So wait, this was Amanda.
No, this is some other girl who sounded exactly like Amanda.
Okay. She didn't talk about hats or anything. Right. She was like, I have a hat. I don't get it.
There's another question here from Juan. He says, also, Mr. Algar, sir, please don't call me sir. I worked around military guys. They all hate being called sir, and it just kind of rubbed off on me. Like I work for a living. I don't work for a living. I remember you saying that the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie was so good. Really? Did I ever say that? Have I ever said?
I don't know. I don't
Do we ever talk
this.
About that movie?
I said it.
Hardly ever. We never mentioned that movie.
No.
I was saying it before the movie came out.
Yeah. No. I was certainly not saying it before the movie came out. I remember you saying it was so good you were going to give Lost another shot. Did you do it? No, I have not done it yet. I may not. I may. I don't know. That show really lost me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It picks up after halfway through the third season.
There was a big cliffhanger at the end of the second season, and for the first six episodes of the third season, they didn't touch it.
Yeah.
They just went to the other side of the island and ignored the fact that, like, some people were in mortal danger and just, like, come
that
on.
That seems incredibly cruel.
Yeah, it was. And everyone just...
The X-Files was never that much of an asshole.
And stories about things that nobody cared about, like, this is how he got his tattoo.
Well, that's the conceit of the show. You always have that flashback, and sometimes they had to stretch for it. I was fine with that. But there was a very strong negative thread, or narrative thread.
Very little Freudian there.
Yeah. It was a very strong narrative thread of, like, here's where everything's going, and then they just took you somewhere else. And the move that show did that I just never really tracked with was... Every season they would throw in six more new characters.
Mm-hmm.
And like, here, get to know these guys as well. On top of all the other people, you're trying to figure out this mystery. Here's a bunch of more people to figure out. I just didn't really care for it. But I have heard, like Chris said, I heard that season three picked up. Like, Brian K. Vaughan apparently started writing for it, and it got a lot better.
Yeah,
I heard that. I don't watch Lost. I don't watch TV shows until they've been canceled for at least 2 years.
Well,
I watch a lot of Fox then.
Yeah.
Take that, Adrian. I will say the first few episodes of Lost, the one episode with Locke, where you find out his situation, is some of the best TV I've ever seen. Like, really, that 1 hour.
Yeah, I have the running joke with my friends that if I wound up in a wheelchair, I would totally have been Locke. Like, don't tell me what I can't do. that would have been me. And yes, spoilers for those who haven't seen this show, it's like 5 or 6 years old at this point.
Yeah. Well, Damn it!
Sorry, guys.
I was actually trying to talk around it, but now you've ruined that, so thanks for that.
Yeah, well,
I can go ahead and say. Now, the whole episode, you don't know that he's handicapped.
Yeah.
You don't, and they present it in a way that you don't know. And
please, Al, handy capable is preferred nomenclature.
Chinaman is not the issue here.
Right. You're listening to Big Lebowski Theater. Now, the cool thing is in the pilot, you see all these people reacting to the plane crash that get them on the island, and you see him, like, wiggling his toes. And you're like, what's that all about? Like, I guess he's happy because he's okay. And what you discover through this flashback is, no, he was handicapped and he got to the island and now he can walk. And it's, you know, it was very powerful, and the way they presented it was very cool. And like I said, the show kind of lost me, but that really was a very, like, good hour of TV. I give it a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, actually, I'd say the season three finale even is probably one of the better, like, season finales of a show that I've seen. Like, where you just go, holy shit, like, just.
Oh, I don't know, man. Well, you're making your way through Battlestar Galactica now, right?
Yeah, I'm not at Galactica yet. I'm on season four right now.
Oh, okay. Well,
you want some?
This, I believe, it was the season two finale of that.
That was a holy shit cliffhanger.
Where they're on New Caprica.
Yeah.
That to me was probably the best cliffhanger I've ever seen on a show. Well, no. Deep Space Nine probably had some of the best cliffhangers.
Ooh, yeah, I think actually I would go the best one that I've ever seen was on season 2 of Alias.
I never watched Alias. Which,
yeah, me neither.
Reasonably, I mean, the first two seasons are very good. After that, it kind of goes, like, they just, I don't think they knew what they were doing and they got lost.
Right.
But the season 2, like, finale, and again, I'll spoil it because fuck it, the show's over anyways. I don't care. Fuck y'all.
No, I'm never going to watch it because I think that chick looks like a horse, but go ahead.
She's no Sarah Jessica Parker, I'll say that. But in season 2, like, it ends, and basically what happens is she goes on some mission, and or she gets into a fight with, like, this other chick and gets knocked out and wakes up in, like, Taiwan and goes and calls her handler, and this guy meets her, the guy that was, like, her boyfriend at the time, you know, is also, like, the guy working for her. Mm-hmm. And so they meet in this room, and apparently, like, it's 2 years later, and she's dead and he's married, and that's kind of the end.
Oh, that's cool. I like, that's awesome. Like a good mind fuck like that.
And you just go, holy shit, because, and then they just fucked it all up and ruined the best, you know, thing ever, but it was an outstanding cliffhanger, though.
Yeah, and I would actually say some of the Whedon shows did some good season cliffhangers, now that I think of it. There's that one season of Angel that ends with, like, him in a box at the bottom of the ocean, and like, okay, so long.
Yeah, best season, I thought. Season 3.
Hell, Angel ended on an awesome cliffhanger. Like, the last episode was great. Yeah,
and I wish they hadn't picked it up in the comics. I wish they just left it at that forever. That's one of those that really pissed me off at first, and the more I thought about it, the more I really liked it.
Oh, yeah, it was the exact same way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what?
For that show. Like, that show had to end that way.
Yeah.
The show was, there was a lot of ambiguity there, and there were a lot of plot twists that didn't make sense to me. And the more I think about it, the more I think that was kind of a running theme. It kind of felt like they didn't know what they were doing, and then you go back and look at it. Like, no, I think they do. I think they were deliberately trying to say, like, there is no clearly defined good and evil, and, you know, people who win and people who lose. There's a lot of gray area, and that's what that show was about. There was a lot of, like, well, we didn't actually defeat the bad guys at all, and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, that was a great show.
Yeah, it was. And now there's...
Just take a moment and think about that.
Now there's Dollhouse.
Yeah, now there is Dollhouse.
Yep.
So our next question comes from...
we're doing that.
Right.
Yeah, questions.
From Irish Gav. And he writes, Dear Al, Matt, and Chris...
do the accent.
There we go. I'm not going to do the accent. I'm not going. Gav is one of my best friends. I'm not going to make fun of the way he talks. I save that for you. So I was asking about this. No. I remember a show from a while back with the famous Mark Darren. He mentioned this, not me. Not the infamous El Guapo, where you talk about foodstuffs that were, well, unusual. I happened upon a couple of them the other day in the old internet, although it's eminently possible you've seen them already. One is what is called pork brains in milk. And the other, which is titularly called chicken in a can. However, here are the links.
God.
And if you would like the links, we'll definitely put those in the show notes. Pork brains in milk gravy and whole chicken in a can.
Like a whole, like you see the cartoons chicken? Like the
URL says a whole chicken in a can. I'm going to click the link now and have a look at it. But
personally, I can't wait to get some a-hole chicken in a can.
A-hole chicken, yes. Canned whole, Sweet Sue canned whole chicken.
Oh, if it's Sweet Sue makes it, that's different.
Oh, yeah. That's
it's the mark of chicken quality.
She cans a good chicken.
And there's actually this it's on a message board. Not the message board we often speak of, but another message board. And it shows a series of pictures of someone emptying it out into a pot to boil it. So you can see it coming out of the can. And you see this full thing. It's like a gross, like, it's like a birth. Watching this come out of the can is like a birth. It's covered in goo.
A whole chicken.
Well, if you go, you have access to the show mail. You can just.
I guess that's true.
And his actual question is, why does everything have to be put in a can? Yours vomitingly, Irish Gav.
I know why. Because jars break.
Well, you make a good point.
And you want your whole chicken in a can to last past the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Which, as we all know, is coming, of course. There's going to be an apocalypse, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Why wouldn't there be?
I don't know, because there's no such thing as mysterious. I think it goes back to, like, can technology really kind of came to its, you know, to its apex during World War II. I think people just,
sir. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it happened during the war. It happened when there was guys deployed for years and years overseas and they had to carry food with them. And, you know, for some reason, there's a whole generation of people that just won't let canned food go.
Oh, God.
Canned food is the culinary equivalent of, like, print media. It just needs to go away. Oh, have you now seen the...
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Oh, like... It does look like a birth.
God.
Yeah. Isn't it fantastic?
Oh.
Yeah. All right, so our next question comes from Brewtown Andy.
I was born without a head.
Sorry, Brewtown. Matt wants to to impersonate a chicken. We don't have time for that. Brewtown. Oh, he's following up to our sandwich question or thing. Chris, I don't know if you heard the show, and he wrote in about his daughter not eating her lunch. And,
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, naturally, he's being contrary, as we predicted. Chiquita takes her lunch in a Tupperware container that has a sandwich-sized compartment, so there's no squishing or mangling. The sandwich that returns home largely resembles the one that left. All right, Andy, here's why you're wrong. There are, scientifically speaking, anti-sandwich particles traveling around the world at all times. These existed before humans, before sandwiches, but once we created sandwiches, these sandwich decay particles, like, bring every sandwich into sandwich entropy.
The first sandwich was crafted, an explosion of invisible anti-sandwich particles burst from the bread.
Oh, and the whole...
Scattering across the earth.
The ionosphere is covered in anti-sandwich particles. And no mere Tupperware is going to shield a sandwich. When you open that Tupperware, it's going to be this corroded, gross little shrivelly... Yeah.
The effect is almost instantaneous.
It's going to look like chicken from a can.
Well, yeah. Plus, I mean, he has to let air into the Tupperware to put the sandwich in there. So there's already anti-sandwich particles in the Tupperware to begin with.
Plus,
unless
germs.
You vacuum seal your daughter's sandwiches, you're going to be out of luck.
And what kind of freak are you if you're vacuum sealing anything, really?
I mean, yeah.
Let's be honest. Oh, and number two, he
vacuum
says...
Vacuum sealers.
The numbers... Oh, he's referring to the numbers. When he wrote to us and his wife wrote to us, they had numbers next to their name.
Oh, yeah.
And we wanted to know who number one was. He said, the numbers are radio call numbers. There is no number one. Our boss is number 101, though. Yeah, that's not very interesting or funny, Andy. So thanks for wasting our time.
Information.
I'm a man.
Let's see. Here's another one from Irish Gav. Oh. He writes, Dear Sarcastic Travelers, the other day on the train to see Eddie Izzard's gig, Gav dubbed me a comedy cunt after I met him. What title would you people like bestowed on you if you were able? Yours cuntingly, Irish Gav. And of course, my you know, American accent really does not portray the glory of hearing a British person say cunt. I mean, they just have a way.
They do.
It's like music in their throats. I mean, it's just...
Gav, if you could send us a voicemail of you saying comedy cunt, we would appreciate that.
I don't know that I could top that. I mean, if I had to choose my own title.
Yeah, I'm sorry that that's been taken. I would be all over comedy cunt.
Yeah, there's I mean, like funny fuck, that doesn't really work. I mean,
that's not that.
It's not nearly as good as comedy cunt. Jesus.
Yeah, that's almost degrading too. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a funny fuck. Oh, really? Well, go away.
All my girlfriends say.
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on this one, guys.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Yeah, you know. Comedy cunt. Just you can't top that.
It's alliterative and just.
I don't even usually like alliteration, but here it just works.
No, that just flows. It's like poetry. Comedy cunt.
That's tough. Comedy cunt.
The crumb like, crisp coating.
Sounds like a 1940s cartoon character. It's Kevin the comedy cunt.
Hey.
Another
question from Brewtown. Oh, good, because you haven't started to bug us yet. Can I get a ruling on my theory that the Tom Hanks-produced HBO miniseries From the Earth to the Moon and Band of Brothers are both better than the Tom Hanks movies that inspired them, Apollo 13 and Saving Private Ryan? I don't know.
Do you really need a ruling on that? I mean, okay, yeah.
Do you need our permission to like something better than somebody else?
Are you guys authorities on HBO shows and their movie comparisons? Like, are you the ones who decide that?
Yeah, we're the leading podcast when it comes to deciding that.
then I'm going to say no. Whatever you think, Andy, is wrong, and the exact opposite is true.
Go watch Saving Private Ryan like 18 times.
Yeah.
Chris, eat a sandwich while you're doing
it. I honestly haven't seen the shows in question. I've seen the movies, but not the shows, so I got nothing.
Yeah, I have both of those shows in my Netflix queue. I just haven't gotten to them yet. I will watch just about anything HBO puts out because, I mean, you know, they make some quality stuff. I just haven't gotten to those yet.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I have no idea.
Oh. Right. Let's see. Next question comes from Pat McDonald, who is our American-Irish friend. And he writes, "Dearest Al, Maticus, and Sir Chris of Page."
Oh,
Maticus.
I know I won't hear this question answered until later in the week. Yeah, actually, you'll hear this on the 17th of November, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But fuck it. Ilm on the toilet and bored. I assume he means I'm, but it says Ilm. My girlfriend is torn.
Maybe he's bored because Ilm is on the toilet and he can't get to it.
My girlfriend has torn something in her knee and is pretty much crippled for a few days. Should I call into work tonight and tell them I can't come in because I have to take care of her? I'd really like to just drink and read comics for the rest of the day. What say ye? Also, would this be an inappropriate time to pee in her butt? Use an intoxication, Pat McDonald, not the creator of Mutts.
Wow.
Well, the peeing in your butt thing,
that's Blandy's thing.
Yeah, we're actually having Blandy on in a few weeks, so we need to save that for him.
I'm in favor of it personally. Yeah, by all means, go do what you need to do. But Blandy really is the one you'd have to ask about that.
Blandy, yeah.
Maybe you should consider getting the Ilm off your toilet if you need to pee that badly.
As far as calling into work, I am a fan of calling into work on the slightest whim
for anything.
Yeah, I'm just, actually.
But don't tell him it's to take care of your girlfriend. Tell him you have, like, I don't know,
leprosy.
Leprosy is a good one.
Feline leukemia.
Syphilis. You're playing.
No, you can't do it with lupus. It's never lupus.
Damn it.
I can't come in. I have lupus. No, you don't.
Oh.
I guess all you're right.
I actually, it's not funny now, but at the time I called in with swine flu months ago. And now it's just kind of like,
I can't come in. I'm addicted to civilization.
Oh, we've covered that. I've certainly done that one before. No,
that's what we call a callback.
Ah, and I've called back to that. So thank me. Okay.
All right.
Now we've gotten to the audio questions.
All right.
So, Chris, you have heard these. So
yes.
We have not, actually. So
good.
Stand by. I'd rather react to them fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So first one comes from Matt's friend made of wool.
Oh, God damn it.
Do you want to do it later, or do you want to get it out of the way?
Just put it on.
Well, I'm stalling as it downloads. But actually, this would be an excellent time to mention that Mr. Smlown is, in fact, on Twitter now.
Yep.
You can follow his exploits. He's at Mr. Smlown, MrSmlown. Great stuff coming.
Him and Roy,
also
him and Roy
a good time to point out that I'm afraid of clowns.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
me too.
I actually don't share that fear, but Mr. Smlown fascinates me. I don't know if I'm scared of him. I kind of feel like my
you
role...
You have needs, respect for him.
I kind of feel like my
it's
role...
It's like a mafia,
be,
Don.
Like, I need to be the mediator here. He clearly has a thing for you, Matt. So somebody has to step in the middle and give him his fair say and be objective. And so I have to be strong and you know, hold the microphone up and let him say what he has to say. So,
what did you have to say? I want to go and live at Matt's house.
Well, he's coming to our wedding. You know that.
Cleared out a space
not,
under
not
his
not our
dick.
Wedding, not yours and mine. We're not getting married.
We're not gay.
We're not gay. No,
at all.
But, you know, mine and Amanda's, he will be there.
They're passing that law in Washington, though. So, I mean, you know, you could.
That's true. We've got that to look forward
Actually,
to.
Actually, they already have it in Canada. If we really wanted to, we could just go up there. I don't, because we're not gay.
No, not
at all.
My girlfriend is not imaginary. Okay, here's his question.
Oh, Lord.
Hi, all peoples of this podcast. Please attend carefully. The message that follows is vital to the future of you all. One enchanted evening, Mr. Smlown will get you. Anywho, do you think people who have tattoos are sexy? Just asking, because I do. Also, I like your moxie. Keep up the good work. M. Smlown.
Matt, I'm pretty sure he's referring, as we record this, the timeline gets a little confused because it's these tachyons. Now,
are we on Mars?
Forgive me, Chris. I'm talking to Matt. It's after the show. No, it's as we record this, we have only just posted the episode that featured where Matt talked about his tattoo, and we posted a picture of it for you guys to see. So he's just now reacting to that, which is now you guys listening is now 5 or 6 episodes in the past. But
I'm never gonna sleep again.
Mr. Smlown apparently appreciates your tattoo, Matt. So
well, that's nice.
What say you?
That's Awesome. Please don't come to my house.
Technically, his question was, do you think people with tattoos are sexy? So do you?
Oh, it depends, you know. Like, I am not a big fan of the giant elaborate tattoo on someone.
I don't like the sleeves and the back thing and all that.
Like, if you're going to get a tattoo, I like just sort of the plain black ones, which is why I got one like that. Right. Like, the sort of big, long ones with, like, colors and everything, I just am not a fan of. It looks like a growth.
Yeah. Chris, how about you? Are you?
I have a tattoo, but I also have a thing for crazy chicks, and they tend to have tattoos and weird
colored
hair.
That is true.
So,
what do you have?
I have a sun on my left shoulder. Tribal sun.
That's cool.
Because, you know, that wasn't totally taken out of date by frat boys. God damn frat boys.
I know. No.
Could be worse.
I actually really like the tribal look, and then it's just like, oh, you can't get those now because you look like a douche? Oh, well, I'm sad now.
Yeah. So, but I mean, like, you know, sleeves don't really bother me. I have friends that have sleeves. It's an interesting look. With chicks, if chick has tattoos, man,
I don't know, for some reason, like, I'm all about, like, pierced chicks. I'm all about, like, crazy, like, blue hair and all that. But for some reason, tattoos on chicks just skeeve me out. I don't know. Might be my age.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, tattoos, piercings, crazy colored hair. I mean, if I see a girl like that, I know I'm in for a fun night.
And if it's like a like blue hair and glasses, like, oh fuck, I'm gone.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. And we got a lot of those in Seattle, don't we? Doesn't it seem like there's a disproportionate number of like hot chicks with glasses here more than anywhere else?
It's the promised land.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I only really ever lived in San Diego other than the Seattle area, so San Diego had no real.
Yeah. I saw like the tan beach blondes there.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and I'm not a fan of blondes anyways, so.
It depends. all right, next question comes. Well, I'm not going to say who this one comes from. We'll let it speak for itself, or I'm going to kill the joke.
Hey, can you turn it up a little?
Hello, my name is Nick Tay, and I was wondering if Chris Page is every bit the idiot that I think he is on Twitter. Thank you.
Well, what do you say to Nick's?
Well, Nick.
Nick's accusation that Nick made that is totally Nick.
Yes.
You are every bit the idiot, huh?
Is exactly.
Every bit the idiot. And drunk usually, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Thank you, Nick, for sending us a question.
Yes,
oh,
Nick.
This is strange. Nick has also sent us a question. I guess a second question from the same person who is also Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, if you will, a scenario not too dissimilar to one from the show that cannot be named. The world is ending. A rocket with the Earth's best and brightest is going to off another faraway planet to start mankind once more. You three have all got tickets to that on that spaceship. I don't know why you're there either. But, due to an accident, you end up on the spaceship heading for the sun with all the bad people on it. Martin Short would be there. In the background, Elton John will be playing the piano. Probably Rocket Man. You know how to pilot the ship, and you know where the best and brightest are going. So, you could, if you wanted to, plunge the rocket into the sun, or you could go, follow the best people, and take the bad people with you for the repopulation. What do you do? What do you do?
Ooh. That's actually a damn fine question.
That's a tough one. Damn.
That is a classic. I gotta say, people are always like, oh, what kind of question should I write? I don't know. It's gonna be lame. You know, what I don't want to speak for Matt, is giving us like an either or, like a tough scenario, like a would you rather kind of situation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff. Damn.
Because I'm a fan of like those, you know, the would you rather books, but you can't just pick one. You really have to justify. You have to say why.
Yeah.
So just to get this straight, there's two ships.
Yeah.
One with the best and brightest, the other one with the slime of humanity.
And actually, to avoid the reference to the show that we cannot speak of, let's instead go with the Hitchhiker's reference and say there's the A arc and the B arc.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to be on the A arc, but we've ended up on the B arc. Do we follow the A arc or do we plunge?
Let's not kid ourselves. We were supposed to be on the B arc.
I was going to say, I would question the sanity of anyone who puts me on the A arc.
And he mentioned that. He brought that to our attention.
Oh gosh! Bring Martin Short to a brand new world, or die.
Well, but couldn't you kill Martin Short like on the way to the
I guess that's true.
Yeah, but the ship is full of guys like that.
Yeah.
Just because he called out specifically Martin Short and Elton John, because, you know, I don't like Elton John.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of other guys like that on that ship. That's a whole ship full of guys like that.
The ship of douchebags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are agonizing over this. There's no question for me. We're going into, as Nick says, the soon.
Yeah, I gotta go with the soon.
Yeah, Michael Caine. I'm going with the soon.
Mm-hmm. I can't let Martin Short infect this brand new civilization. It might actually accomplish something.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I'm not a big self-sacrifice guy, but I would take a bullet for humanity if it meant
needs of the many.
I think it's more that I'm just lazy. I wouldn't want to try to pilot the ship around. That's work. I'd be happy to be like, fuck it.
You got it there. All right. Working on downloading our final question here because I am prepared.
Take another moment to reflect.
Certainly. No, actually, this is a small file. This one comes from Pat from Pilo. And this is the first question we've gotten from him this week.
It certainly is.
And
we haven't gotten any other questions from him at all, just only this one. So
at all.
Let's have a listen.
Dear Al, Matt, and Chris Page, my name is Michael Caine, and I have some questions. First, when will Nick Thompson be on your show? I heard he sounds just like me, Michael Caine. Second, why are we so fascinated by Orson Welles so much? What's it about that dead fat man that we can't get enough of? Three, why would anyone want to talk to Chris Page about anything? What makes him so bloody special? And finally, when would Pat Loika ever make a return appearance? He's a brilliant, dashing young man with balls the size of grapefruits. My thanks for answering these questions. This is your friend, Michael Caine.
Wow.
All right,
I don't think that was Michael Caine at all.
Well, it came from Pat. The email address is Pat. But,
I wasn't aware that Michael Caine was friends with Pat.
Well, we've said this earlier. Pat is friends with many people. Pat works in a hotel in a prominent American city. It's quite possible maybe Michael Caine stays in that hotel.
I guess.
The
thing that makes sense.
I'm going to answer the last question first because I'm a dick. Pat, if you have balls the size of grapefruits, you need to get that looked at, man. You can't come on the show until you get that.
Unhealthy.
I understand what you're trying to go for, but size of grapefruits, really? No, that's.
Where do you buy pants?
There's some fluid retention going on there. You gotta get that taken care of.
Pat was a big fan of Warren Ellis's Crooked Little Vein.
Yeah, clearly.
All right, with the saline, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But you're supposed to let it out. You don't, like, stay that way.
Don't just, that's, it's not healthy.
No.
I'm not going to judge Pilo. All right, that's... Yeah.
We're not here to judge Pilo. I mean, Pat's going to come back. He's welcome to come back, certainly. We're trying to visit, you know, different guests each week. We're trying not to repeat ourselves just yet. God, what else did he ask? Michael Caine, something. I don't know.
See, when will Nick Thompson be on your show?
We have an upcoming show. First of all, I want to say, and this isn't specifically about Nick, but really, there's no nice way to say this. Please don't invite yourself on the show.
Yeah.
This is starting to turn into a thing. I would love to have lots of people on. If I know you and I think you're funny, chances are you're going to come on. Or if Matt knows you, it's not just my call. But
or if Matt can scrape someone together. He can't, but...
You've done it before. You got at least one or two people that you haven't gotten a hold of yet that I would love to hear from. I mean, I don't want to make people think I'm the only one who knows interesting people. You know most of these people anyway.
That's true.
It's not like I'm bringing on strangers like, hey, Matt, talk to this guy.
Well, if you want to scrape someone together, get some chicken in a can and put a head on. It looks like a person. You're good.
Head on Sarcastic Voyage, Matt Apple, and chicken in a can.
When we do our first video-based one, we'll definitely...
The part of the guest will be played by chicken in a can.
But no, I've had this problem, and there's no nice way to tell you. We're very booked up. We have a lot of people, you know. I mean, it's not, you know... That I don't want you on the show. It's just I plan this pretty far out in advance. I know who's going to be on for the next like 20 weeks. Mm-hmm. No kidding. And when you come to me and you say, "Hey, can I be on the show?" It's like I don't want to be a dick, but I don't know how else to. And I've been meaning to bring this up, and I hate to kind of slow our momentum here, but it's something I've been meaning to say. That said, we are doing sort of a what do you call it?
A
show full of small segments coming up.
Yes. A jam session.
Yeah,
a
sure.
Variety show.
Yeah. The working title is Year End Cluster Flonk. It's what we're doing is we're taking all the flonk questions and making other people answer them for us so we can clear out the damn mailbox.
Yeah. Oh.
That's good.
Now that we're 70 questions strong, all flonk related.
So we're gonna find, you know, we're gonna match each question up with a person, and we're gonna like try to work through some of the people that would like to be on, and we just don't have time to get on. And so Nick will give you a flonk question, and you can certainly have your moment in the spotlight.
Yeah.
What else, Michael? Why do we like Orson Welles so much? Do we really need to?
If you have to ask, you'll never know.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Dead Fat Man? I mean,
the magic
just...
and the glory that is Orson Welles, the beauty, the pathos,
the cakes,
the lust for cake,
the frozen peas.
Yes.
Yes.
See, now you've done it.
Yes. the French champagne.
Damn you, Michael Caine.
Yes.
Damn you. And why do you want to talk to me about anything? That's a good question. I talk to me all the time. I don't know.
I don't know. See, my first inclination was to answer honestly, and I'm like, well, he can't hear me say that I think he's funny and interesting, but then, like, well, why not? There's this whole battle going on in my head right now. I don't know, man.
You don't want him to know that I like him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree that I'm funny and interesting personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but as soon as we get off, you're going to jump on Twitter and say, I was the worst cast ever.
Also, I'm Amanda.
Wow, it's like she's right here.
In stereo.
Yeah. Did we cover all the – did we hit all the myriad questions there?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's actually all we got. We are kind of hitting our time cap here, so we're going to have to wrap things up.
Oh.
Chris, is there any other things you wanted to plug? I certainly want to
I have a book coming out next year called Purvis Jeffries' Hero Butler.
Okay.
That I'm doing with the aforementioned Adam Witt.
Title.
Yeah. That's another, like, you sold me without really having to go into, you know. Like,
yeah,
I got the premise. You guys are good at the quick premise. That's it.
Yeah, it's another one that, you know, instant messenger thing that just came out of nowhere. So
that's Matt and I. That's where we do most of our best, like, back and forth, you know, brainstorming.
Yeah,
stuff. It's just conversations get carried away, and we're like, you know, this would make a good comic.
Oh yeah, yeah. So we got that comes out. That should be out in March, unless I really fuck up the artwork or something.
You gonna try to have that ready for the Emerald City Con?
Yes, that is our deadline, is to have it ready for then. So I think that's like March 5th and 6th or something like that.
We actually have been extending an offer to all people who have appeared on the show retroactively, and anyone listening who's been on the show, this extends to you as well. We're cutting commercials now with our voice guy. We'll do like a little 30-second spot if you want to write some copy. Like when you come on the show, like right now, your book's not ready to go, but it might. You know, if it's ready by March, write us a little ad. We'll throw it in here. We have some listeners. Maybe people will hear it. Maybe they'll buy it. You know,
sweet.
We extend
anything we can do to help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Outstanding. Yeah, definitely.
Because I mean, just because we, you know, just because you happen to come on before your book's ready doesn't mean well you missed your chance. Like, no, we want you know, we want to help you out. So.
Well, as a return favor, I will put an ad for the Sarcastic Voyage podcast in the book if you guys want it.
Very nice.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, in fact, we'll just we'll throw that Pikachu art in there and put
son
it
of a bitch.
I should mention, I do have an idea for a companion piece for that. I just haven't fleshed it out yet. It's equally humiliating for me. I don't know how to make it work. I want to do something like the
Matt, I got an idea. I just don't know how to make it work.
I'm telling you.
What a shame.
I'm telling you. Also, you could send Pat some money and say, hey, draw Al, you know, doing what, like, you know. It's not like I have access to some secret knowledge. I have $20 in Pat's email address.
Draw Al in a Squirtle suit.
No, what I pictured, I just can't figure out, like, Matt's has that perfect, like... Just it's got great visual elements to it, and mine just doesn't yet. I gotta figure out how to make it. I wanted to do like the Back to the Future scene with like him in the bed, you know, like in the purple underwear, and his mom, you know, like you know, I've never seen purple underwear before, something like that. I just can't think of how to make that, you know, awful, like to really make it. But I think that's kind of the germ of the idea, and if you can think of a way to make that work, you know, I'm all about like fairness, and I'll make something just as humiliating for myself. I just haven't thought of it yet. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, listeners, if you have any ideas of how, you know, how we can make me look bad, by all means, bring them on.
Send your suggestions to
make Al look bad at.
Yeah. Chris, anything else? You got the upcoming book? Any other?
Nothing. I mean, Fuke will have an original graphic novel with all four issues hopefully out next summer, but that's everything else is a ways off at this point. I mean,
okay. You know. Oh, actually, one other thing, and you may not be prepared for this. This is still a new thing, and I apologize. I should have given you a heads up. We have been trying to get the guests to throw some kind of a recommendation out there, some kind of a what you're reading right now, what you're listening to, what you're watching.
Okay.
You got something digging that really blows you away, especially things that people may not know about.
I actually did pick up this book at the bookstore the other night while I was out buying my comics.
A book, not a comic?
Yeah, an actual book novel. Okay. I am and buy my comics at bookstores.
Pictures or any?
Yeah, no pictures. It's John Dies at the End by I believe it's David Wong. And it's a horror comedy, put it that way. It's actually based off of, I guess he had a website where he posted the book initially, and I think it's like johndiesattheend.com. If you go there, you can find it as well for free, I believe. But, I mean, fantastically well-written stuff, good comedy. It's sort of the best description I can make that probably doesn't even fit, and I'm doing a horrible injustice to this, is that it's like Hitchhiker's Guide for horror.
Oh, nice.
Where it's got that kind of silliness, but there's a good mix of horror in there, too. It's a very solid book, so I highly recommend that. Very cool. Outside of that, nothing else.
Well, no, that's really it. I mean, if you got the one, you know, the one thing that you can really push, that's great. We started doing this by accident a few weeks ago, and we both decided it's a really good idea to, like, get, you know, to get the word out there to buy this comic or watch this TV show or whatever. So,
The only thing I could talk about is that on Twitter, I'm Chris_Page at Twitter. Follow me. I'm entertaining.
Yeah, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well.
Sweet.
And I think that's it. I think we've covered everything we need to cover. Matt, thank you, as always. Chris,
indeed,
thanks for being here. Yep. Listeners, again, I say this every week, but it changes every week. I looked at some numbers, and they're bigger than I thought. Again, like, I don't know who you people are. Some of you apparently live in China.
Thank you.
I don't get it, but thank you. Keep doing it. And
in this case, you are the issue.
So thanks. Keep spreading the word. Keep fucking that chicken. And
damn right.
We're gonna
keep chasing that rainbow.
Keep canning that chicken. And we're going to stop talking now.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website again is Algar, AlGar.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, at RobotMatt and at Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2009.
He was a suburban child of the 70s.
Special thanks to Pilo and Oscar winner Michael Caine for appearing in this episode.